Good morning, everyone. Father, what a blessing it is to gather in your name and to have access to come to the throne of grace. Lord, to look at another familiar prayer in the Bible today, and may we glean what you would have for us in it. And then may you lead us in this time of prayer by your Spirit, that we would be praying in one accord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we're going through these prayers in the Bible, we are making our rounds. You know, this is about, for some of you, about the fourth time we've been through the prayers in the Bible. And we are in Judges, and when you get in Judges, last time we began with Samson and the call to his parents that he was going to be born. They were barren, and Manoah's wife was barren, of course, we know that. And the instruction by the angel was that he would be a Nazarite from birth his whole life, meaning he would never have his hair cut, and he would never drink anything to do with the vine, and he would never touch a dead body. And of course, we'll see that before it's over his life, he does violate all these areas. But we're looking at his final report today, and it's a good report in a sense. It's bitter and it's sweet at the same time. But he will end strong in praying, primarily, I think, for vengeance on the Philistines for putting out his eyes. But also, he is coming against God's enemy. So in that, it's good. And we do find his name in the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews. And so oftentimes, it seems like we want to paint individuals with the brush of whatever we kind of think is maybe the worst thing they did, and so therefore they're pretty far goners. But we see God's mercy and God's grace over and over and over, and so many examples come to mind of that. But here is another one, and so let us look at this prayer today. And as we begin, let us just sing, Pass Me Not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, as we see Samson will humble himself and cry out. So let us sing this together on top of the page on your notes.
Thou art calling to
So as we think of Samson, I tend to think of three words about sin. It binds, it blinds, and it grinds. We see a man that was given to Israel to be a great judge and to lead them and against their enemy, the Philistines, at this point in the book of Judges. And yet we see the tragedy of sin in his life and how it messed it up. And we notice that he had a real problem with lust, as we all do, or can anyway, the lust of the eyes. And he was continually, even at an early age, he deviated from the straight and narrow way, of course, by wanting a Philistine as a wife, and it just, everything went kind of downhill from there on in his life. And we see him constantly playing with sin and constantly giving in to his lust. And although he ruled Israel for 20 years, we see a number of reports of his failures. And the big one, of course, near the end of his life was with Delilah. And we see how sin blinds, because here he is playing with her and giving her answers to her questions. She had great love, not for Samson, but for the money. And for the Philistines, a group of them had said they would each give her 1,100 pieces of silver if she could find the answer to his strength, because he had, in an earlier time, killed at least 1,000 people. It was just the jawbone of a donkey, and he had caused a lot of trouble to the Philistines, and they couldn't quite figure him out, I don't think, because I don't believe you could see his strength by looking at him. But he had supernatural strength because he was endued by God with his strength, and they wanted to get rid of him, and so they knew that he was seeing Delilah, and so they said, "Find out the secret of his strength, and we'll give you all this money." And so you know the story. She lulls him to sleep, and when he wakes up and so forth, she says, tell me. We already had that earlier with the riddle when he got married. He couldn't keep it from his bride, and he gave in to her. Well, he's going to give in to Delilah again here, same old pattern. But he plays around with it because he gives the wrong answer for a while, but it keeps getting closer to the truth. And it's so easy for us to play around with sin, I think, and it does blind us. And you see over and over again people in sin and they don't see it. How many times do you know of men, primarily women as well, but men start a relationship in adultery, and maybe they're even cautioned about it by well-meaning friends, and they don't see it. They don't see it's a problem. It's not going to be a problem with me. I'm just talking a little bit at work, but nothing will ever come of it, and so forth, and they just don't see it. Or take an alcoholic or a drug addict, particularly in the early stages, and they don't realize that they are becoming a slave to it. And you try to get them to turn from it, and they will tell you, "I have no problem with it. I'm never going to be addicted to this." And it blinds them. So sin blinds them, it blinds us, right? So look at your life carefully. What sin in your life today is blinding you? Maybe not some huge addiction, or maybe not even some biggie, but what sins of any kind are in your life, because they all want to grow. They're like the Marine Corps in a way to me. They get a little beachhead and you think, well, that's not going to cause an awful lot of damage. Well, it's just a few soldiers on a beachhead, but then it grows. And that sin, or like leaven, however you want to look at it, it just grows, and the flesh always demands more. So it's not that you can take a little sin and put it in the corner of your life and it'll be a little sin forever. No, it's going to grow and it's going to consume you if you don't do something about it. So it blinds. And then it binds, because he was bound by the Philistines. She kept saying, "What is the strength of your strength?" Well, if they bind me with, raw green ropes, and if you bind me with this, if you bind me with that, if you bind me, and he kept giving her a wrong answer, but a little closer. Finally, he said, "If you cut off my hair, I'll be weak like other men." So she cut off his hair, or had them cut off his hair. And now he's bound, and those tragic words in there, it said, she said as before, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson," in verse 29. So he awoke, or verse 20. So he awoke from his sleep in verse 20 of chapter 16 and said, "I will go out as other times and shake myself free." Of course, totally blinded now by sin. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. So when the Lord departs because of sin, it's not something that the Lord puts a great big neon sign in flesh of you and saying, one more sin and I'm going to depart from you. I don't think that's the way it works. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him. So sin not only blinds, but it binds. They bound him with bronze fetter, and he became then a grinder. So now he's grinding in the prison. He's pushing the millstone around and around. Normally you would have an ox or an animal of some kind doing that, but he's doing it. The man is doing it. They have him grinding. So we see the full cycle here then of the sin blinding him and binding him and blinding him, and now he's a grinder in the prison. But we see in verse 22, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. And now the lords of the Philistines are having a big blowout with their Dagon, their sacrifice to their god. And they all gather in this temple or this structure, whatever it is. And there were many of them there. And they're having a good old time saying, our god has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. And in verse 24, when the people saw him, they praised their God and said, our God has delivered into our enemy, our hands, our enemy, the destroyer of our land, the one who is multiplied or dead. So when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad, now notice this. Here's this most powerful guy, this great enemy, but now he can be guarded by just a young boy because he's blind. And he's bound, too, for that matter. Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women. So pretty sure Delilah was there and maybe some of the other women he had been with and so forth. But they were all there, 3,000 on the roof, watching while he performed. And now we have the heroic example of his final prayer here. And he called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, good address, remember me, I pray. We've heard that before, haven't we? We had the thief on the cross. We've had different kinds of times. Remember me, remember me. And that's a prayer for us as well. Remember me, I pray. And then the next question, or the next request, I should say, strengthen me, I pray. So remember me, strengthen me. Just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. So now he's humbled himself in a sense that even a young lad can watch over him, and he prays, and he prays for remembrance, he prays for strength, and he prays that the Lord would enable him to have victory over his enemies. In verse 29, Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then he said, let me die with the Philistines, and he pushed with all his might. And the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And now this last verse is also telling you, see how the Philistines are defeated now in a sense. His brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. So we see the tragicness of lost potential. He could have been so much better than that. But even in his fallen condition, in a sense, the Lord is still merciful and still gracious. And really that should be very encouraging to us, as we also still are involved in various sins, not that we have to be, but we choose to be, and we can likewise be blinded and then bound and then ending up being ground by them. And so we want to be careful in that regard and remember Samson, but also remember God's grace and his mercy. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that that's the only position that we have at all. We are just all wretched sinners saved by grace and your mercy. There's no good in us. And our beautiful, beautiful living hope that we have in you is not based on what we have done, but it's based on what you have done. Today, Lord, we want to use these moments of praying for the body of Christ. We want to pray for those lost, those who do not know you yet, those who are walking dead. Lord, we want to pray for your church. We want to pray for your bride. And also, we want to pray individually that we would hate sin and we would abhor every form of evil. We would be watchful on discerning what is good and what is bad, what is good and what is evil. And we would not embrace the evil. We would love the sinner, but we would hate the sin. And so, Father, help us to pray in these various areas as you will lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's pray.